Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions.
Yes.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How do you feel being back in the seat since Jay had it last week?
I know. I after listening, and I think I need to be worried.
Well, I'm not going to say, just saying that so many people said, I love you and Julie, but this podcast with you and Jay was amazing.
Oh, okay. Of course they did. That's okay.
It is so, I mean, like literally, you know, I had someone say to me yesterday, Todd, how many hours of sleep do you get a night? Julie, tell them.
Not very many.
What time did I go to bed this morning?
It was after 2.
So after 2, I was up at 6:30. I had to do promos. I had to do 15 other things with phone calls. Then I had to shower and get dressed and then come do the podcast. So from 6:48 this morning until now, I've been going nonstop.
Yes.
So, and I'm not going to lie, folks. I'm tired.
Good. Well, maybe you'll sleep tonight, which means I get to sleep tonight. Yeah. I wake up, there might be a sermon playing, or there might be the TV blaring, or he might be talking on the phone, and he's got the computer on, and trust me, you never know. There's a circus in our bed, just not the kind you're thinking about.
Well, I would prefer the kind you're thinking about. You know, folks, listen, we had last week's reception of Jay being on the podcast was amazing. I mean, it actually was very, very positive. And, you know, Jay and I, you know, to answer a lot of questions, Jay and I do have a great rapport with each other. We have a true, honest, loyal friendship, and we're very direct and open and candid with each other. And I think that that's what makes the relationship work. And, you know,
I also think that's what comes through when you guys did the podcast last week. I think people can sense that.
Yes. Well, I think so. I certainly hope so. So, you know, but what didn't happen last week was we did not get a chance to get to a lot of callers.
Okay.
I don't think we got to any. And so we need, you know, certainly we're going to jump into the callers today. But, you know, I have, I promised to bring you guys up to date on lots of things. The Josh Waits and the Georgia Department of Revenue. You know, that is moving forward. And when I tell you, I cannot place into words how good God is. Because what God has provided to us via other information from past and present employees of the Georgia Department of Revenue to other victims to people from Josh Waits' past, the information that has been dumped over on us is absolutely beyond anything that we could have ever hoped for. So we're going to sit back and wait and see for the next 30 to 60 days if the Georgia Department of Revenue plans to do anything about their rogue employee. I understand that the Georgia Department of Revenue is very angry that I have called them out and that I have called certain individuals out. If you're pissed off now, I can assure you, you're going to be pissed off later because the truth is going to come out and we're going to make sure it comes out. And when I tell you, I get at least 10 to 15 emails. Would you say it's 10 or 15 emails from tabloids and stuff a week?
Mm-hmm.
I get at least 10 to 15 emails a week of people wanting me to sit down with them and go over the evidence that we have against Josh Waits and to talk about what he did to us and so forth and so on. Tabloids, we're not giving you this information. It's going to stay within our attorneys because we're going to walk this through the court system. And you guys are welcome to start paying attention in the next 30 to 60 days. Information that's going to be filed within the courts and you can take it from public record. We're not going to be talking about anything other than what I say on this podcast or what I post on my Instagram. I know a lot of you are sending me messages. You know, I've gotten a lot of information from people sending me direct messages on Instagram and Facebook and what have you. Any updates that you get on this Josh Waits, Georgia Department of Revenue, you're going to get it from my Instagram or from this podcast or from a court filing. That way, we don't have to worry about it getting twisted and turned. But to say that we are going to prove 100% the criminal activity that this Josh Waits has been has been building, this criminal organization that he's been building since coming on board with the Georgia Department of Revenue at the expense of Georgia taxpayers, mind you. When I tell you we're going to prove it, it's proven. When I tell you the abuse that he has put out on people in the state of Georgia, we've got the proof. When I tell you he has lied under oath on several occasions, we've got the proof. So I'm going to be posting some documents probably next week, and it's going to be shocking at the difference that the state of Georgia makes when finding out that an African-American male has committed a specific crime. He's terminated from his job, but the exact crime that he was terminated from his position for, and this was a high position, folks, the exact job that he was terminated from and for, the reason that he was terminated from that job, is one of the many crimes that Josh Waits has done. But yet he is still employed by the Georgia Department of Revenue, and yet the head of the Georgia Department of Revenue, who's appointed by the governor's office, still is covering for Josh Waits and keeping him on the payroll. The taxpayers of Georgia's payroll, and that's where the Georgia Department of Revenue gets confused. They work for the people of the state of Georgia. Their salaries are paid by the taxpayers of the state of Georgia. But yet their commitment is to covering each other's ass so they can scam the taxpayers of Georgia. Now, folks, with the Georgia Department of Revenue, I know that I have gotten proof now that they tune into this podcast, and we appreciate the following. We appreciate the interest. I'm glad that you tuned in. I'm glad you're tuning into Chrisley Confessions. But you're only hearing what you already know. You know you've got a rogue employee. You know that you've got a multitude of people within the Georgia Department of Revenue that has covered for all of this. You know that because you've got the emails to prove it. And the reason that I know that you know it, sir, is because y'all have been ordered to turn over all of your emails. And you've turned over a portion of them that confirms in email writing what Josh Waits was doing and that y'all knew it. So I think that that's all I'm going to say about it today, because I want to give today's podcast to the viewer, to the listeners, and we'll move over to callers right now. But for each and every one of you that message me on social media that's wanting these updates or that's giving me information for more information about Josh Waits, then I greatly, greatly appreciate that. And please do not hesitate to continue sending in this information, because what you're doing, you're not just helping yourself, but you're helping millions of Georgia taxpayers that could be in the same situation if this man is allowed to continue his modern day reverse Robin Hood role.
So all in all, over $218 billion of food goes to waste in this country every year, including 20 billion pounds of produce. And that's what Imperfect Foods is here to change. I have to say, I was intrigued by Imperfect Foods when it was first presented to me, and I didn't know what it was. But Imperfect Foods is the only food delivery service that buys the perfectly nutritious and delicious foods grocery stores won't sell and delivers them to you at a discount so you can save money and help reduce food waste. Imperfect Foods sources directly from farmers committed to quality and delivers delicious, imperfect groceries to you up to 30% less than grocery stores. Imperfect Food flexible plans let you pick healthy, seasonal produce along with grocery staples. Along with quirky-looking but delicious produce, you can also get surplus coffee, discolored quinoa, off-size eggs, slightly scarred almonds, and more. So start saving time, saving money, and saving waste right now. Because when you go to imperfectfoods.com/cc, now through February 16th, you'll get $10 off your next four orders. That's a total of $40 off, guys. Just go to imperfectfoods.com imperfectfoods.com/cc to get $10 off your next four orders. imperfectfoods.com/cc and enter CC at checkout. So I was quite intrigued to get my box because I didn't know really what to expect. So I wanted to tell you guys like some of the things that were in my box. I had kale, I had cauliflower, I had oranges. I had a bag of whole raw almonds. I had a bag of lentils. I had some sweet potatoes, a couple of tomatoes, apples, pears, beets, lemons, limes, grapefruit, snap peas, and avocado. This was all in one box, guys. Now, there weren't 10 avocados, but there was one or two of everything. So if you need something like I used mine in smoothies. I baked my sweet potatoes. I mean, there were so many things that I use every day. Sometimes it's just the size might not be quite big enough for a grocery store or their shape's just a little off. I would encourage you, go to imperfectfoods.com/cc and enter CC at the checkout.
So with that being said, let's move to the first caller, please.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Julie. This is Emily calling from Austin, Texas. I just had a quick question about differing parental views. So my boyfriend and I share a son together. His name is Evan. He's four. He's the sweetest little boy, and he's very friendly. I remember around Christmas time we were at HEB, and he was just stopping everybody and saying, Merry Christmas, and I thought it was the cutest thing. And I think it's great, but my boyfriend thinks it's not really that great. He would like him to stop being so friendly, I guess. And I just don't know when the appropriate time is to talk about stranger danger and all that. And I don't really know if he comprehends it. Like, Mommy, why are you telling me, you know, not to say hi to people? Like, that's the nice thing to do. So I don't know really how to handle that. And if y'all could just weigh in on that, that would be great. I love the show. I love the podcast. I'm actually a new listener/viewer, so getting all caught up, which is great. But anyway, thanks so much for your advice. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Emily. You know, Julie and I have raised our children together, and we've always tried to stay on the same page with, you know, with how we raise the kids. Now, Julie will lie for him.
And Julie, Todd will, too.
I do.
But with that being said,
I don't lie for my children.
Yeah. Okay.
But there are some things that I just don't tell you because I don't want you upset over it when I'm handling it.
Gotcha.
But, you know, how do you handle that? Because we raised our children to be very friendly and outgoing.
Right. I don't really understand where her boyfriend's coming from. I understand that you have to teach your children that, yes, there are people out here that don't have your best interest at heart. He's four. So you've got a four-year-old. Your four-year-old's not going out on his own somewhere, not in the presence of an adult, a parent. So to say that you want to stifle him from being outgoing, I don't understand that. And I think four, yes, you can still tell your kids at four, you know, you don't go with anybody but mommy and daddy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Keep that, you know, you plant those seeds. But I don't think it comes a point where you say, don't talk to people that you meet. But I do agree, Emily, that, you know, you and your boyfriend, you have a four-year-old together. You do need to be on the same page because it just will make things easier for you guys and easier for Evan.
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, because, you know, we started talking to our kids fairly early about, you know, this is your private areas. These are the no touch zones. This is, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, we started doing that fairly early with the kids.
Right.
And, you know, we always told our children that we're your mom, you know, your mom and dad love you more than anything in the world. And no one's going to love you in this world better than God and your mom and dad. So if anyone touches you, if anyone makes you feel uncomfortable or says something to you that's inappropriate, you come and tell us and we'll take care of it right away. But we also said always be friendly and polite, mm-hmm. but do not ever feel that you need to be friendly to someone that's hurting your feelings or that's doing something to you that's causing you pain or, making you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So I just think that, I don't know that 4 is the age to do that.
Right.
I think that probably it's that age is going to fall about. Yeah. I think you start planting the seed probably somewhere around 6 and then you keep building from there. Right. That's kind of the way we did it. That means it's the way you got to do it, but it's kind of the way we did it.
Right.
So I hope
that
helps
you. Thanks, Emily. And thanks for watching. I mean, how great is that we are, we're filming our 8th season and we've got people that are new listeners. So we greatly, greatly appreciate you, Emily.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd Risley. My name is Samantha. I'm from Orange County. And I just heard your last podcast and really just wanted to call in. I was a little disappointed with this last one about some of the comments with Jehovah's Witnesses. I myself am one of Jehovah's Witnesses. We consider ourselves Christians. I really loved your podcast because I felt like you had your Christian stance, but you were also very welcoming to any and all listeners, and it was a part of why I always listened in. But I was just a little caught off guard by some of the misunderstanding. I was really shocked that Kyle's ex-wife was one of Jehovah's Witnesses and that you guys say that, it came off like you were saying we're not Christians. I just want you to know Jehovah's Witnesses do consider themselves Christians. We only use the Bible as our source of information of God. Everything we teach and learn and preach about is from the Scriptures. The word Trinity was created. It doesn't actually present itself in the Bible. We still believe, just like the Scriptures say, that Jesus died for our sins. We just don't believe that Jesus and God are one and the same. We believe God truly sent his son, Jesus, to the earth. And that's pretty much that difference for that new fiancé is, as Jehovah's Witnesses, we do not at all believe in child baptism. We very much always encourage that they're required to come to the meetings and learn about the Bible, but we are not allowed to force a child to become one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we very much believe it's your own personal decision. And sometimes that happens. There are many families that are witnesses where one of the kids choose to move forward and get baptized and the other doesn't. But as long as they're being raised in that household, just like any Christian household, the parents are going to encourage them to come to the meetings as long as they're living under that roof.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Vanessa,
first of all, I never mean to insult anyone about faith or about giving, misinformation towards anything regarding someone's religion. And I don't know enough about Jehovah's Witnesses' faith to speak intelligently about it. It's not my faith. I am Southern Baptist. I am Christian. You've just told me that as a Jehovah's Witness, you view yourself as a Christian. And I can't tell you anything about your faith because I've never walked in it. I've never practiced in it. So if you've taken from last week's podcast that I was down about Jehovah's Witness, I'm not, because I don't know anything about it. And I'm grateful for anyone who has faith in, I want anyone to find something that they're faithful about and that causes them to be better for themselves, their family, and everyone that's around them. Let me apologize if you feel that I, was disrespectful towards your faith, because that certainly was not the way that it was intended. Next caller, please.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Todd. My name's Ashley, and I have schizophrenia. I was diagnosed about 5 years ago, and ever since I got diagnosed with schizophrenia, me and my father's relationship has been at a rocky point in my life because he just doesn't see eye to eye with me, and it's just so confusing for him to understand. Do you have any advice to handle this situation? I love my father deeply, and he means the world to me. But we just don't seem eye to eye with my mental illness. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. And, I am so grateful that you were able to be diagnosed and hopefully receiving the proper care and medication that are required. As far as your relationship with your father, I would say that maybe you find a support group that you both can attend together. When we don't understand something, it becomes hard for us, and people tend to shut down with things that make them feel uncomfortable and that they don't really understand. So I would say maybe try to find a support group that you two can attend together so that he can learn more about the disease. You know, Todd and I are all about bringing awareness to mental illness and how important it is in this country that people who struggle with mental illness are not left behind and swept under the rug. So we are thinking about you guys and praying that your relationship can become stronger and that he can understand the disease that you're battling and that can be a source of help for you. So good luck, Ashley.
Good luck, Ashley.
Next caller.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Amy from Houston. I'm calling because I am dating a man who has a child, and I am in a potential position to be this child's stepmother. He doesn't have the greatest relationship with the baby mama, and that's a separate story, but I was wondering, actually, if y'all ever sat down and discussed what sort of role Julie would be taking in the kids' lives. I know besides telling Julie that your kids come first, Todd, but was there any ever conversation about what kind of parenting style you wanted to have, or if there was any boundaries or rules that have to be set between, I don't know, did you just step into the stepmom role, or was there conversations that had to be had before? Any advice would be great. I don't know where to even go from here because I don't want to, you know, overstep my boundaries in case he has them. But I don't know if my significant other has boundaries, and I don't know how to bring up that conversation. I would be very grateful for it. Thank you.
Amy from Houston.
Amy. Dear, let me explain something to you. You are getting ready to step into uncharted waters. You are getting ready to swim in a pool that is a pool of ungratefulness. Now, this child belongs to your boyfriend, which is you're hoping to be fiancé, your husband, I'm assuming, already has a mother. Now, even though your boyfriend and the mother obviously could not get along and co-parent together or parent together to keep the unit together, you will find how closely that this ex-wife will become to what might be your future husband once she realizes that he's going to make you a permanent fixture in her son's life. She's going to be in his ear more now than she was when she was married to him. And it's going to be about everything that you are doing wrong. And if you're going to hear between now and 18 years old, if you're going to hear this saying one time, you're going to hear it 10 million. I'm the mother. She's not his mother. That's what you're going to hear. And you're going to be the one, if this is the case, I can only speak for Julie and myself. Julie was the one there for my kids, you know, every morning, every night. Prepared every meal, washed every load of laundry, was up with them sick, you know, took them to the doctor's appointments, took them to school. You know, she did all of that. And it was never appreciated or respected. And so, you know, I think that what you need to understand is that first of all, your question is how do you discipline? As a father, I was coming into the relationship with Julie with two children. I was very upfront from day one before Julie and I dated 8 months before she ever met my kids. And I was very clear with her what my role was in raising these two kids and what Julie's role would be. Would you agree with that, Julie?
Yes.
And what did I tell you would never do?
Discipline them.
I said, you will not put your hands on my kids. These are not your children. They are my children. We are coming together as a couple, and I hope that you will grow to love them. But you're never going to love them the way I love them because they're my flesh and blood. And Julie said, well, I don't think that's true. And I mean, you've said many, many times that wasn't true, that you loved Lindsay and Kyle as if you did if they were your own.
Yep.
That would be hard for me to understand, because I can't imagine loving anything as much as I love my children, let alone another man's children. So I just wasn't cut from that. I'm grateful to God that I married a woman that was, but I mean, I wasn't that man. And I'm just being honest, but I don't think that even if I started today, because, you know, Kyle has specifically said that if I had allowed you to really be full time 100% instead of cutting you off when it came time to discipline them or whatever, they would have been better for it.
Right. And our situation was a little bit different than a lot of situations, because when I met you, I knew from day one you had two children, and you had custody of your kids. Whereas even today, most of the full-time parenting is with the mom in a lot of instances. There are dads that are out here raising kids, don't get me wrong. But, 20-something years ago, it just wasn't as popular or as common as it is today. So I think that made our situation a little bit different, because they were with us every single day, not just, one night a week or on the weekend.
Agreed. And so, I just think that, you need to be very cautious and have very clear understandings of what your role is going to be and, how things are going to be handled with this child in your home on a daily basis or a weekend basis or whatever. And, I think it just has to be open communication.
And I think, Todd, you were really negative at the beginning of this phone call. I do think there are instances where, where everyone's on the same page, where the mom and the dad are on the same page. They've both moved on. They are both really good at co-parenting. That does happen on occasion.
Yeah,
hopefully, you're blessed, then, that's what happens here.
But more so than not, it doesn't happen.
It's the other way. You're right.
And, we can definitely say that it happened with Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, because I just read the most amazing tribute to June Carter Cash from Roseanne Cash. And she talked about that June Carter Cash, Roseanne is from Johnny Cash's first marriage, and Johnny had four daughters with that first wife. And everyone knows who Roseanne Cash is. I mean, God, I remember trying to sing her song 7 Year Ache when I was growing up, and I just loved that song. So, Roseanne, if you're listening, let's do a remake of it. But she wrote a tribute to June, and she said, this was after June had passed, and it was at her, funeral. She tells about June from day one stripped the term stepchildren and stepmother from everyone's vocabulary and said, I'm a mother of seven. Now, that's the four that Johnny brought into the marriage. June brought two children, and then they had their son together, John Carter Cash. And she said that June did not teach her identity, that she didn't get her identity from June, but June taught her what her future, showed her what her future was. And that June was always kind, compassionate, considerate, and thought of everyone else's feelings. And she would always say, baby, we've got to lift them up. Whenever somebody was doing something wrong, she wouldn't talk about them. She'd just say, baby, we've got to lift them up. If you have not read it, you have to go online and read the tribute that Roseanne Cash made to June Carter Cash, because I'm telling you, for every step parent out there, you can only hope that you would have a child that you've raised, that you've put in the blood, sweat, and tears for, that you didn't give birth to, would feel this way about you. We didn't get that, but June Carter Cash did. And for that, God bless her, and God bless the children that she raised. And I hope that you'll have some of that. I hope that you will be the next June Carter Cash. I hope for every couple out here that's bringing children from another marriage into it, I hope that you all become, a June Carter Cash and that you have a child like Roseanne Cash that will acknowledge what's been done for them and do it in the right manner and with a respectful tone. So I hope that that helps you. Good luck and God bless.
Grope Collaborative is an online marketplace that delivers all-natural cleaning, beauty, and personal care products directly to your door. Grove makes finding healthy, affordable, effective formulas easy and convenient. Everything Grove carries is safer for you, better for the planet, and really works. In place of harsh chemicals are natural ingredients that smell fresh and leave your home sparkling. You'll find brands you already love and know, like Mrs. Meyer's, Seventh Generation, and Burt's Bees. And you can discover something new, like their own best-selling Grove-made products that you can't find anywhere else. And listen, I know you're super busy, and this is why I love Grove, because they deliver based on what I need and based on my schedule. They have flexible refill orders, so you'll never have to worry about running out of your everyday essentials. And they have your whole house covered, from laundry detergent and dish soap to paper towels, body wash. I use their lotions and I buy their wash for Chloe, and I love their whitening tabs for laundry. I am a stickler for my laundry. And with your first Grove order, they'll set you up for a free trial that includes free shipping on all orders for 60 days. And Grove auto shipments are completely customizable to fit your schedule. You can easily delay, edit, or cancel a shipment at any time. By now, most of us understand why it's so important to use natural products and reduce our plastic use in our home. But where do you start? I know for me, before I was introduced to Grove, I was overwhelmed with what to buy and where to buy it, because there wasn't one place where I could go and buy all of the highest quality natural non-toxic sourced items. But now Grove Collaborative is here to help. So here at Chrisley Confessions, we love Grove Collaborative, the online marketplace that delivers all natural home beauty and personal care products directly to your door. Make your laundry more sustainable this year. Now, for a limited time, when our listeners go to grove.co/cc, you'll get a free 3-piece set from Grove so you can start reducing your plastic waste. Plus, you'll get free shipping and a free 60-day VIP trial. So go to grove.co/cc to get this exclusive laundry set offer. That's Grove, grove.co/cc.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Julie and Todd. My name is Angelica. I'm calling from Texas. Can I just have one question regarding blended families? I'm on my second marriage, and my current husband has two kids that didn't finish high school, nor did they go to college. They're not in the right path, whereas my two children have finished high school and have their career, and one is actually about to finish her university and graduate from a university. My husband doesn't understand the reasoning behind her father and I supporting her while she gets her career. She still lives at home, whereas my son lives out of the house. My husband doesn't understand why we financially support her while she is still currently in school. Doesn't see the reason. Also, we always have arguments regarding having to pay bills and the utilities while she's still living at the house, and understand why she doesn't have to, or we don't require her to make any payments or help around the house. Just wanted to know, what are your thoughts regarding how can I explain to him or make him realize that while she's getting her career, I will always continue to support her. So hopefully you can give me some insight on what I should say or do, or how to approach that conversation. Love your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is the second caller regarding blended families. Mm-hmm. Darling, I'm just going to give you, because I'm trying to live right, but I'm just going to give you the straight forward with it. You got two kids. Both have gone on to college, to higher levels of education.
One's in college. The other has a career. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, that's neither here nor there.
Okay, so, but the husband brought two children into this relationship. Neither have gone on to school.
They did not graduate high school.
Okay, they didn't even graduate high school. I don't believe that that father should be giving any advice on how to raise children when she's got one she's got a child that's obtaining a higher level of education.
Yeah.
He's got two high school dropouts. Yeah. So I don't think that he needs to be signing up and selling classes and parenting.
Right.
Now, you married this man. Your daughter, if I understand this correct, is still living at home with you under your roof.
While
she's going to school. He's bitching because she's not paying rent there. You don't charge your child rent to live in your home when they're trying to better themselves. Now, does that mean she can't do a load of laundry? She can't run the vacuum? She can't mop a floor? She can't help you clean the kitchen? No, it does not mean all that. Because there are plenty of single, unwed mothers out here who's dealing with one or two kids or more, trying to obtain a higher level of education while cooking a meal, cleaning a house, stripping beds, whatever. So your daughter's capable of helping around the house. If she can't contribute financially, she certainly can contribute, you know, in sweat equity. But as far as your husband making you feel bad, if I was your ex-husband, I'd tell him to stay the hell out of my lane when it came to my child and that I was going to do what I wanted to do with her. Now, I understand because she lives in his house. That responsibility now falls over to you because you're sharing a bed with this man who's bitching and moaning and groaning. So you need to make a firm stand. Listen, I love you. Education clearly wasn't important to you because you have two that dropped out of high school. But it's important to me and my husband, and I've got one that's already out working. He chose not to go to college, but his ass is on a job. But this one that's going to and obtaining a higher level of education, I got one shot left to get one that's going to have a college degree. And you ain't standing in the way of that. So I work every day, and what I have extra, I'm going to give to her. And if you don't like that, then we can divorce. You can send me a check, and I'll give that check to her towards her tuition. That's how I would handle it. That's how the old Todd would handle it. I'm trying to let God give me grace to where I can respond better to people. But, you know, I'll let Julie, who I plan on getting into heaven, one way or the other, I'm going to grab her coattails.
I think you're right. I think you're right. It's hard, you know, when you're dealing with these young adult children and you're both bringing children into the marriage, you know, it's just a hard situation. But I have to believe if my child is going to college to better themselves, I'm going to try and do everything I possibly can to set my children up for success. So, you know, that's what I say.
Next caller, please.
Yes. My name is China Ross. I'm asking for myself. How can I set up something where Miss Julie can freeze dry me and send me one of them pound cakes? Her or Miss Faye. I saw Savannah make one time, so she might be all right. But I really have it from, I want the over 30 pound cake. Hit me back.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love you.
Ms.
I love
Ross.
You. We are actually working on some things for 2020. You have not seen the last of my food and my pound cake. So I will keep you updated, sister.
Let me just tell you something. She made these pound cakes for my dad throughout our entire marriage, and he would come every morning after she got back from dropping the kids off at school, and he'd be coming through our back door, and he'd walk in the kitchen. He'd say, "What are you doing?" And Julie would be putting on her dinner for the day, and he'd say, "Where's my coffee and pound cake?" And that was every day, folks. And so for that, we are blessed that you were able to do that for him. But this woman's cakes, I mean, she made me a chocolate delight this week, and I mean, it was out of this world. But this woman's cakes are beyond her. I think Julie's a better cook than baker, but I think she's an absolute amazing baker. So, I mean, she's actually great at anything that comes to do with food and in the kitchen. But the cakes that she makes, I mean, her carrot cake is beyond anything you've ever put in your mouth. It's amazing. So, I mean, I really wish that we could send you a cake, but legally we cannot because we can't take on that liability. But because, you know, Ms. Ross, we can't be sending you no cake. And, you know, you all of a sudden getting sick and start saying it happened because of Judith's pound cake. And then you getting a lawsuit against us. I mean, we can't be getting in all that kind of mess. But you could come to our house and have a piece of cake. And then that way, if we eat the same cake that you eat and we don't get sick and you do, then that's just your bad luck. So you come to our house and get a piece of that over 30-pound cake. Good luck to you. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd, Julie, and possibly Kyle. My name is Becky, and I just want to say I love your show. I love the podcast. Your family is amazing. Todd, this is probably more for you, just because I've heard you talk in the past about the situation that you had faced. I am a child sex survivor, meaning that I was sexually molested, but the longest one being my dad's father, and that was from the earliest I can remember is age 3 until I was about 12. He's going to be 96 this year, and I have no relationship with him. I didn't have a relationship with my grandma, his wife, either. She has passed away. Anyways, I did not tell anybody in my family until I was 35 years old, and I'm 38, almost 39. So this just happened that I told, and I started facing it and going to counseling. And my daughter, who is now almost 12, told me that she was being molested by my best friend's child from the ages of 5 to 7. So I was heartbroken. I'm heartbroken. I'm taking it harder than I don't know. I just feel like I should have seen the signs. I should have known the warnings. I should have known since it happened to me. My experience trying to deal with it on my own self has went on the back burner because I want to make sure my daughter, since she was brave enough to come forward at such a young age, is taken care of. Please, can you give me some advice on how to help her, how to get back to dealing with my issues?
Have a great day.
Becky, I'm so sorry to hear, you know, that this happened to you as a child. And I'm, you know, so sorry that this has repeated the cycle. But first of all, let me help you. That guilt does not belong to you. Should you have noticed the signs? Kids, and you're going to read this in my book and I talk about it. Kids are very smart at covering things up. And when they are trained that what's happening to them is sinful and that it's wrong and, you know, this is a secret just between me and you. And if you tell anyone, you know, I'm going to hurt your mom or I'm going to hurt your dad, or I'm going to do this or whatever. When they're trained that way, they are trained immediately to start lying and to start covering things up. And that's what happened with me. But what you need to do is you need to continue on that path of helping yourself, because through your discovery, the answers will come for your daughter. You can't give her something that you don't have yet. You can't help her out of a place that you still reside. And I had to learn that the hard way. And you know what I can say to you? What I can say to you is that you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. And hopefully once you come to terms with it, the good days far outweigh the bad. And do not allow your crusty ass 96-year-old granddaddy to steal one more second of your day. I mean, I don't know why, you know, I guess he's living because that's God's punishment to him to leave him here until he's 96 years old. So you can always look at it that way. I mean, I always looked at it that, you know, this individual, this doctor that did this to me, he ironically ended up dying of prostate cancer. So what I would say to you is that work together. You both can work together on this, and it will draw you two closer. It will create a bond between the two of you that is inseparable. But make sure the one thing you do not ever want to see happen is you do not need to become codependent on each other's pain. That is where you need to make sure that the road splits, because she can't become codependent on, she can't become dependent on your pain and you dependent on hers, and let that be the thing that draws y'all to the, you know, to each other and causes y'all to have such an inseparable bond. The bond between a mother and a child or a father and a child should be based out of love and respect and admiration and genuine heartfelt moments of, I'm the protector. You know, I want to protect my child, and the child saying, I want to make my parent proud. And, you know, all of the wonderful things that happen between a parent and a child should be what causes you to have the bond. I think that you will have a bond because of commonality, because of what has happened to the two of you, but it cannot become a codependent bond. So just remember that. And I'm going to pray for both of you. And I cannot advocate enough for you to get her into therapy immediately. Because now that she's told you, the dam has broken. And if you get her to the right person, to where she can tell everything and to where they can help her process everything that she's feeling, she's going to be a whole, healthy young woman who will be able to love completely and wholly, and who will not have these hangups that travel with kids who are sexually abused. I mean, you know, you get, when you're molested as a child, you become, you go one of two ways. You become extremely sexually active, or you become this very frigid person who views sex as a bad thing. I mean, I became someone who was very sexually active, and I did that, you know, from the time that I was right before I turned 15. Now, I mean, I probably would have still done that if that hadn't happened to me, because, I mean, I come from a long line of hoish behavior. But from a standpoint of a medical professionals, that's how they look at it. So who knows? But what I do know is that before I ever came to this earth, before I was ever conceived, God knew what was going to happen to me, just like he knew what was going to happen to you, what he knew what was going to happen to your child. And what I do know is that for God to have known those things were going to happen, it's because God knows what's waiting in front of us after that. And what God has in store for us is not a lifetime of pain. What God has in store for us is a lifetime of promise. And if we believe in him and we put our faith in him, then we can't even dream as big as what God's plans are for us. So I want you to truly put your faith in God and to get into a good Christian counselor. And just know this, that God has more mercy for you than the mistakes you've made. So you can't make enough mistakes that God doesn't have more mercy for you. So just remember that, and good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. I was just calling. I just have a situation, but I don't even know what to do. I have an idea. I've recently, when my daughter turned 2 years old, on June 19th, I found out that my husband was paying a girl $20 on Snapchat, and I don't receive any pictures and stuff like that. And after that, you know, I went a little crazy and stuff and just started digging a little bit more. I'm not going to say that I am perfect. You know, I am a stay-at-home mom with my two-year-old, and I have a dog now. My confidence has went down after my pregnancy. You know, my body wasn't the same. I'm just different now, you know. I love he's not even my husband yet, he's my fiance. When I found out I was pregnant, which was 3 years ago, he proposed. We haven't married just yet. And I just recently went into his bank accounts and I saw that hotel. You know, I just saw one and I just don't even want to keep on digging. I talked to him, he denies everything, and it hurts me because he's a great father to our 2-year-old daughter. And he loves and adores her, but I don't see a connection between him and I. And I just don't know what to do, you know, move out. I live in Raleigh, move back to Charlotte with my family and have support and just be on my own or try to go to couples counseling. Thank you so much for hearing my message, and I love and adore you guys and respect you guys so much, and would love to hear something back. Thank you.
Now, Jill, you know what my response is going to be to that.
Yeah, you need to go back to your family.
Now, honey, first of all, your man, who you just said you're not married to, is sending some random chick out here $20 for nude pics. Now, definition-wise, she's a hoe. Because she's selling her body or the image of her body for a dollar. $20 in this case. I don't know if I want to see the body of somebody who doesn't value it more than $20. But what you should do is you should learn to respect yourself enough to walk away. You started this conversation talking about what you found out that he has done. You've gone through his stuff. You've found different things. But then you somehow go back to trying to, you somehow take it back to you being part of the problem by saying that you had a child and your body's not the same as it was before you had this child. But yet he allowed, chose you to be the mother of his child, which means that he should love you unconditionally, whether you are 100 pounds or 300 pounds. But you don't have no blame in him buying $20 nude pics. What was it on Snapchat?
Yeah.
This damn Snapchat again. You don't have any ownership in him buying nudes on Snapchat.
Well, and also there was a hotel charge on his bank.
Which means he's out here laying down with hoes and coming home to you and could possibly bring home to you the nasty that he just laid down with. So if he's been with this hoe and then he comes home and lays down with you, now you've been with this hoe. And it goes on and on and on and on. So you have a child. Do not let your child see you be disrespected in this manner. Because if you stay in it and it continues, you're condoning it and you're saying to your husband, regardless of what you are, your boyfriend, regardless of what you do, I'm never going to leave. Well, then why the hell is he ever going to change? There's a consequence for every action. And, you know, I think that from this, my perspective, you know, when Julie and I got married, it was, you know, before we even got married, what was my number one deal breaker?
Infidelity.
And if that had ever happened or ever happens, I love this woman with all my heart and soul that sits beside me. But if I were to ever find a text message on your phone that was remotely inappropriate, what would I do?
Yeah.
What would I do? She doesn't know
You'd
what yeah
done.
Means.
We would be done.
And people look at that and say, well, Todd, then you really don't love Julie. I mean, if you can be married to her, if be with her for 25 years and she makes one mistake and you leave, then did you really love her? Yes, I did. But at that point, I made a decision to love myself more because I won't be disrespected by that. And that's what it comes down to is blatant disrespect. When you are married and you lay down with someone outside of your marriage, that's infidelity. That's adultery. And it's not okay. It's not something that I would ever forgive. I could, you know what? I might forgive it, but I would be able to forgive it because I wasn't having to see you every day because we're done. And God says, I have to forgive, but I would never forget it, which is why I couldn't stay with you because I would constantly be throwing it up to you every day because I would feel so bad about it that I'd want you to feel as bad as what you've made me feel. So I just need for you to find your self-worth. Look at your child and know that your child deserves a mother that is whole, that is worshiped, that is loved, that is respected. And that starts for you the moment you start giving yourself all of the above, because a man will not respect you if you don't respect yourself. A man is not going to treat you like his queen if you're acting like his servant. So you need to respect yourself. He's shown you who he is. Now, when people show you who they are, it's your job to believe them. Somebody telling you who they are is something different than showing you who they are. So I want you to call us back and let us know, after hearing what, you know, what I've said, what route you take, and let me know how it works out for you. Good luck and God bless, darling. I think we've got time for one more caller.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This question has to do with my 12-year-old, and I just don't feel like putting myself or him out there just in case. Okay, so my 12-year-old stepson came to me, I would say probably 3 or 4 months ago, and asked me to buy him a pride ring. I asked him why.
What?
And pride ring. I said, you know, it's something that you're wearing to support your friends, support your family. I have niece and nephew who are gay, and I just assumed that he was probably wearing it out of support for the two of them, which I thought was nice. But he dropped the bomb on me that he thought that he was bisexual. It kind of threw me for a loop for a minute, because he's never really talked about being attracted to other boys. It's been mostly girls. My question is this something that I should be keeping to myself because he's afraid to tell his dad, and he's afraid to tell his mom? I don't think his dad would love him any less. I mean, I honestly don't believe he would. His mom, on the other hand, I guess he had asked her for the pride ring as well, and she said something about, well, you know how we feel and what the Bible says about being gay. And he's like, well, Mom, what if I was gay or bisexual? And she made the comment that she would try to change him. So I guess my question is this something I should keep to myself for him for the time being, because he knows he can tell me anything? Or is this something that I need to be telling his dad about, or possibly letting him tell his dad? I think that he's just scared. Actually, I know he's scared. He's told me that he's scared, that he doesn't want his dad to not love him anymore, which I've told him that that's not the case. So if you could shed some light on that and kind of help me out, that would be awesome. Love you guys. Love the show. Love your podcast. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Oh, my sweet friend, I would do not envy your position. You're a stepmother who's now been entrusted with a secret that if you go and tell your husband, who is his father, then do you lose the faith and the trust and the safety that he feels in you? And at 12 years old, this kid needs to feel that. And for him to not go to his dad or his, and basically his mom, and completely say, I'm bisexual, says that he doesn't feel that safety with his biological parents, that they would still love him after that. And he does with you. So I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that you don't go and tell his dad.
I think that you, because it sounds like you guys have a great relationship.
Or you could dump it off on the ex-wife. Now, she's already been asked for the pride ring, and she wouldn't get it
No. I think that she obviously has a good relationship with her stepson.
Yes.
I think she continues to foster that. She continues to help him to get into a place where he can sit down with his dad. And he tells his dad. Because nobody can tell your truth like you can.
100%.
So I think she is that encouraging one that says, listen, you can do this.
And
I'll stand with you. Because I think that having her in his corner, I mean, that's an amazing thing to feel like he has someone, and that the fact that it's his stepmom is even better to me. I mean, I think because I am a stepmom that that's one of those success stories that I was talking about, that there actually are out there.
And so I want to say to you that I commend you.
Absolutely.
On being the kind of woman that this kid feels this safe to come to.
Absolutely.
Because it speaks volumes about what kind of mother you're being to him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe, you know, maybe you take Julie's advice on this. I mean, who would have thought that your advice would be better than mine? But, you know, maybe you take Julie's advice and, you know, you just continue to nurture the relationship with your stepson. And, you know, you just say, listen, I know your dad. I married him. I know what he says about you in private. I know how much he loves you. And there's nothing you're going to do that's going to cause him to not love you. And what I want to be able to offer to you is I want you to always know that when you're ready, I will sit down with you and your dad, and we will have this discussion as a family, as a whole unit between me, you, and your dad. And I promise you, your dad's not going to stop loving you. I promise you that. And, you know, now your husband's going to say, because just men become salty, because we think we know everything, we should know everything. When it comes out that he's told you, your husband's going to say, why would you not come and tell me? This is not your kid. This is my kid. Why wouldn't you come and tell me this? Be prepared for that.
Right. But I do think this is one of those cases where it's worth the backlash.
It's worth
I really
the backlash.
Do, because this is a 12-year-old boy. And
what's the show that we watch that we love so much where this is actually going on?
A Million Little Things.
A Million Little Things. I want you to go and watch this show, and I want you to watch how this
and
mother...
And get your stepson to watch it with you.
Yes, and watch how this mother does on this show, A Million Little Things, and how that whole group of friends in that friend group, how they have... And Gary, how Gary has him, who's a main character, how wonderful Gary has been to this kid. I want you to go and watch that. And I want you to learn from that, because that is great television. When I say it's great television when we're doing something that helps someone else.
In their real life.
In their real life.
Yep.
And A Million Little Things, that particular storyline is helping so many people in their real life. So I want you to go and watch that. And then I want you to come back to us and tell us how things are going, because we really, really, really want to follow this.
Absolutely.
Your story.
We want to follow your story. So we hope and we pray that you call us back, because listen, we've got kids out here every day who are taking their own life because they can't be true to who they are. And that is not what we want to see happen to any person out there. No one should have to feel so low that they take their own life because of who they love.
And because they don't feel worthy.
Right.
And, you know, we have our children, and, you know, we love our children regardless of whether they make us mad or whether they do things that we don't agree with, you know, whatever. I think that you are doing the... I can't tell you how proud I am of you for taking the stand that you've taken. And, you know, and for this young man at 12 years old to know who he is or who he believes he is.
Right.
And, you know, you've not mentioned what your component of faith is. I cannot tell you enough the peace that you find within God, the peace that he bestows upon you. And, you know, I cannot, as a Christian, I cannot use the Bible to harm my brother and sister. I cannot use the word of the scripture to demean, degrade, or make someone feel as if they're not worthy. I can't do it, and I won't do it. I believe that the Bible is taken so out of context in so many different ways. Maybe his biological mother should really focus on the unconditional love that God has for us and apply that same love towards her child. Because I can tell you, every one of my children, for the exception of Grayson, has done something that we are not happy about, that we have been hurt over, that we have been ashamed of, and we've been embarrassed by. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes.
But we have never had a moment to where we stopped loving them.
Right.
We don't
always like them.
No, we don't. We don't always like them, but we love them unconditionally. Doesn't mean that we have to be in each other's face every day. Doesn't mean we got to get on the phone. Now, I do talk to 4 of my 5 every day, 100 times a day. But that does not mean that because I'm not talking to the 5th one, that my love has gone away, because I still love that fifth child that I'm not talking to as much as I love the other kids. It's just that we don't have that relationship that I have with these other four right now to where we can communicate. And it's best that we don't. But it doesn't mean that my love has waned, that it's different or whatever. It just means that this is where we are. And I've accepted that, and I've given that to God. So I believe that we are supposed to love unconditionally. I don't believe God sent our child here to go through life and not be loved and to be ridiculed and shamed and embarrassed. And listen, if one of our kids came in and said, listen, I'm gay, I'm going to still love my child. I'm going to love my child as literally as Christ loves the church. I'm going to love my child the way that I believe Christ loves me. And I'm going to, at that point, I'm going to continue to nurture my child in the way of the word. And I'm going to help them to understand better biblically what the scripture says and what has been taken out of context. So, you know, I think that we need to remove, you know, when you're trying to remove the splinter out of someone else's eye, you got to get the blank out of your own. So just remember that. Please get back to us and give us periodic updates on where this stands. Folks, that's going to do it, because we're now 12 minutes over, so you're getting a longer podcast. So I thank each and every one of you. Season 8, when does it start airing?
March.
Season 8 starts airing in March. And folks, I cannot tell you the things that you're going to see in season 8. It's been a very revealing season 8 that we're working on. And there's going to be lots to come out of it. There's going to be a lot of tears, a lot of laughs, a lot of journeys that we go on. So I hope that you'll be there and join that with us. So from our home to yours, nothing but love and lifting you up. Good luck and God bless until next week.